Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And General Mayhem.
My doggie.
Hey, everybody. It's Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars in Cinema.
Cinema.
And today we're reviewing a popcorn Western classic.
Yes.
From the 90s or the 2000s.
90s. 94.
90s.
93. 93.
Something in that realm, yeah.
Yeah. Tombstone.
Tombstone.
In Tombstone, crime ruled the streets. Violence stalked the innocent. And every stranger was your enemy. Until Wyatt Earp and his brothers arrived. And now, all hell is about to break loose. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Bill Paxton, Jason Priestley, Sam Elliott, Dana Delaney, Michael Biehn, Powers Booth, Charlton Heston.
You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
All right, so Tombstone from 1993.
Nice.
And this is one of two movies about Wyatt Earp that came out kind of right around the same
seven months yeah. of each other, yeah.
The other one would be the... Now, Tombstone was more of the popcorn-driven kind of action western.
Right.
I would say it's akin to, like, Silverado,
mm-hmm.
whereas Wyatt Earp was more like a drama that's more akin to, like, Unforgiven.
And more historical and...
More historically accurate,
right.
whereas Tombstone was just a popcorn flick that was, you know, there to make money. And,
while not my favorite of the two... It does have some very accurate historical elements in it, and I will go through that as we go on.
It's my favorite of the two. So,
and
I
like Tombstone
more than Wyatt Earp.
Well, you've said on the other show, on the past show, that Wyatt Earp was your favorite, so now you're switching on it.
No, I changed my mind on that. Yeah, I realized how many times I've seen Tombstone over the ages. That's probably my favorite. I've seen.
If you watch the second half of Wyatt Earp, it's better than Tombstone. The first half, hour and a half, you know, the first hour and a half.
It's too long. That's the main thing. It's like 3 hours long. It needs to be. Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, it was supposed to be a 6-hour miniseries.
Ah.
They had to cut it down because Tombstone came out, and they were like, oh, crap, we have to compete.
So it was going to be
It was going to be an HBO 6-hour miniseries.
Yeah. And then it just came out in theaters?
Yeah.
That's weird. I guess they were just hot on the heels of Tombstone's get out in theaters.
Yeah, right.
Tell our version, that type of thing. So a lot of people have seen Tombstone. It's not a new movie at all. We don't do a whole lot of new movies on this show, but it's
some of the greatest lines in Western history,
yeah,
or even
definitely.
In movie history.
Definitely, yeah.
And one of some of the greatest lines come in a great cigar scene, which
they
will get to.
They do, which we'll get to.
So let's set up. You want me to set up since I'm the wider?
First off, we are smoking today, and
we are at a different
location. Normally we're at Calypso Cigar, which is now Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge.
Calypso Cigars, not Calypso Cigar Shop.
Okay, so now it's just Calypso Cigars.
That's what it's called.
And they're still a sponsor.
Yes.
But today we're over at Enfuego and Rockwall.
Which we've done a show here before.
We have, yes.
And one of my favorite stores, period. I mean,
it's a great
any of the Enfuegos are great. But this might be my favorite because while it's the furthest one from where I live, I still love it. It's just comfortable.
Yeah,
I know more of the customers here than I do at the other stores. Just a great place.
Yep, I love the layout of the humidor because you can walk down the row and be like, oh, they got a lot of cigars, and then turn the corner,
L-shaped.
They got more cigars.
Yeah, it's L-shaped. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's cool, and you can see everything from the lounge. It's a beautiful setup here. So if you haven't been out here and you're in the area,
and Lee does a great job of making you feel comfortable when you come in and
check out the shop. Meet Lee and the gang.
Yeah.
So we are smoking some cigars that Lee actually gave us from the Tatuaje Pudgy Monsters set from last year. I'm smoking the Wolf, and you are smoking the Mummy.
Nice.
You're well into yours. What do you think so far?
I love it.
Yep.
I've always said I've liked every Tatuaje I've ever had, but I've never loved one.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite one so far.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I like it. This is good stuff.
Now, see, I had that in the larger version when it came out a couple years back, and I really didn't like it, but I liked the smaller one. So it's kind of interesting.
Now, this is the right size. This is kind of a, I want to call it a skinny Toro or a long Robusto.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's what it's kind of in between, but it's nice.
Yep. Yeah, it's tasty.
I like it a lot.
So, set up for Tombstone. I mean, everybody knows the story, but
okay.
I like to set it up.
So, the whole White Earp story is very rampant in my mind. But the way this one starts is the Earp family, Wyatt, Virgil, and his younger brother Morgan, show up in Tombstone with their wives / girlfriends. Wyatt and Virgil have been lawmen for many years. They come to Tombstone because Wyatt Earp was an entrepreneur. That's what Wyatt Earp was, a get-rich-quick kind of guy. That was his idea. That was his plan. So, Tombstone was a booming silver market. The mines were just exploding with silver. So Wyatt decides, let's move the family down to Tombstone. We'll get rich there. And so the movie starts off with them arriving in Tombstone and looking for success.
Yep.
That's what they're looking for.
Looking for their claim.
Yeah, and not having to be lawmen anymore. Just let's make money.
Yep.
And certain things happen in the movie, or in life in the movie, where Tombstone's a corrupt town, and the Earps decide to be involved.
Yep.
Well, at least Virgil does.
Takes him a good while to get involved, too.
Yeah. Well, Virgil gets involved fairly early.
Yeah.
Virgil is played by Sam Elliott, who's like 84 years older than Kurt Russell, so I don't know how they were brothers. But but he was great.
He was awesome.
He was great in it.
He's awesome in every Western.
Kurt Russell, of course, is Wyatt Earp, and Bill Paxton plays Morgan Earp.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be something I get into later.
Okay.
And then Doc Holliday winds up showing up. Doc and Wyatt had been friends for a while back, and they'd met in Texas.
Yep.
They became friends in Dodge City, Kansas, when Wyatt was a lawman there. And the funny thing is that Doc was always on the other side of the law, but yet for some reason these two just had this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And both movies show that.
Yeah.
You know. And they both show the weirdness of why are they friends when
Doc walks up and Behan shows up. He's like, oh, look, it's Doc Holliday. He's like, screw you.
Yeah, they're funny lines in this movie. I don't know where you want to go as far as...
Well, we can get into the cigars.
Let's talk about the cigars real quick, and then we'll get past, because
the cigars actually happen pretty early in the movie. Once shit gets where it hits the fan...
In one of the best scenes.
Yeah, it kind of stops pretty quickly. So at the 11-minute, 19-second mark, Doc, you get to this where you meet Doc for the first time. He's in a card game and probably obviously cheating. Doesn't want to admit it, but the lesser Stallone accuses him of cheating.
Right.
And, during that scene.
Oh, I forgot that was Frank Stallone, wasn't it?
Yeah. Frank Stallone, yeah.
Yeah.
Kate smoking what looks like a cigarette / cigar. It's an unfiltered, cigar, but it's a small little, petite thing.
And that's when he meets Johnny Ringo.
Yep. Oh, no, he didn't meet Johnny Ringo then.
Not that one?
He just kills
him. Oh, no. Okay, this is the scene where he escapes. That's right.
Yeah, where they basically say it's the end of this town. They steal. They basically stabs Frank Stallone, and then they steal everything and go.
Right.
I calculate that's the end of this town, my sweet, soft Hungarian devil.
And that's fairly accurate historically. That is a fairly accurate scene. Yeah.
And then the next scene is at the 16-minute mark. Once they've gotten to Tombstone, Doc walks up and Behan's there smoking a cigar.
Okay.
And that's basically where they meet Behan, and he's the first guy in Tombstone that's smoking a cigar. It looks like a Petit Lancero, something like that.
Right.
And then at the 18-minute, 50-second mark, that's where the real scene is, where Wyatt walks into the bar, and the bar is basically dead. Mm-hmm. And you got, what's his name over there, just... flapping his yap.
Oh, Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. And Billy Bob and
his character's name is Johnny Tyler.
Yeah.
That's a very, and this story's fairly accurate as well.
Yeah. So he basically walks in and says, hey, it's kind of dead in here. What's going on? He's like, well, this guy came in a little while ago, kind of took over the faro game, and now nobody comes in because he's just...
And seeing Wyatt wants to invest in saloons, and Wyatt's a great faro player. And so he wanted part of the action.
Yeah.
And he sees this jerk mistreating the customers, just bad-mouthing. Get that damn cigar out of my face! You smell like my uncle's backyard or something.
Yeah, like, it's like playing cards with my goddamn sister's kids.
and this is very early Billy Bob Thornton, and a very fat Billy Bob Thornton. You don't recognize him. If it weren't for his voice, you'd be shocked to know that this was Billy Bob Thornton.
Know him the way you know him now, and you see him then, you're like, whoa. But he was actually in a television series at the time called Hearts of Fire with John Ritter.
And Marky Post.
And Marky Post, back when she was still hot.
And,
you know, that was a great show. But that's the thing about this movie is, if you look at the cast of this movie, it's a crazy cast. I mean, there's a lot of people in this, but at that time when it was out, a lot of these guys were just television guys.
Right.
You have him, you have, what's his name, from Wings?
Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church, yeah, he went on to bigger, better things. And you got the guy, Chris in the Morning from Northern Exposure.
Yep.
He was in there as well.
Yeah.
And
but you did have some movie people. You had Bill Paxton, Sam Elliott, Kurt Russell, of course.
Yeah, you got just a great, great cast overall. I mean, all the bad guys.
Oh, our buddy from...
the Cowboys.
Michael Rooker.
Yep, Michael Rooker's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good cast.
And you're looking at Curly Bill. You know, Curly
Oh,
Bill
the great Powers Booth. How did Powers we forget Booth, Powers Booth?
He was...
One of the best performances in the movie is Powers Booth.
Yeah.
And delivers my favorite line in the entire movie.
Which is what?
Well,
bye. Yeah, Powers Booth is great. And then Michael Biehn was great. And you know, a little bit of a trivia there. That role was actually supposed to go to, what's his name? The guy from 9½ Weeks.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke was supposed to be that role, yeah.
Wow.
And he backed out last minute.
Wow. So
can you imagine that? I can't imagine Mickey Rourke pulling off the Latin.
In vino veritas.
Exactly. In vino veritas.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit of trivia that not many people know, and I'm trying not to Costner this episode up, but this is important to the movie. Costner was in, this was supposed to be his movie. Mm-hmm. And last minute, he didn't like the script. He backed out. Okay. Decided to do his own movie with Lawrence Kasdan, because they had talked about it years before on Silverado. Yeah.
And he did Silverado with
Lawrence. And he said, wait till you're older and we'll make this movie. And it was going to be Tombstone. They backed out, and then Cosmatos jumped in. The original script actually was written by a guy named Kevin Jarry, who did Glory. I think he did Glory. And this was going to be his thing. And he stuck to this. I'm a Glenn Boyer Wyatt Earp guy, as far as historical. And Jeff Morey and Glenn didn't get along. They had difference of opinions. Jarry really stuck to to Morey's script, or to Morey's facts. Mm-hmm. Studio was bored by it, so they got rid of him. And I got a new writer.
He was the original director, actually.
So yeah, supposed to be the director, too.
He was writer-director. And at that point, this is pretty early in the production. He got let go. And basically, Kurt Russell really wanted to get the movie made. And he tried really hard. He got the right cast that he wanted. He thought it was going to be a great movie.
Yeah.
So he did everything he could to keep it going. And he actually went as far as to direct the movie, to continue to turn in dailies so that they had something to show.
Right. And Cosmatos got named as the director.
Even though he really only directed probably like a third of the movie.
Right. And Russell said, I won't take credit. I will give you full credit for it. Because he had done Rambo and stuff like that. So he wanted to...
And that was on, you know, basically over a cigar, Kurt Russell was talking to Stallone going, hey, man, this project is killing me. We've got to finish it. And he's like, use Cosmatos, man. He's great in doing the action stuff. Let him do... So basically, Cosmatos came in really as the second unit director. He did all the action scenes, all the montages where they're chasing people and shooting everybody and stuff. And Kevin really kind of did, Kurt really did the hard work, you know, getting the performances out of the actors and everything. So I'm surprised he hasn't done more as a director, because he really got some
He did it well.
You know, between Powers Booth and what really could have been an Oscar nomination for Val Kilmer if it wasn't such a
easily his
movie.
Easily his best role ever, anyway.
You watch that movie and you feel bad for him. It's like, guys, he's really given his all, but this is just a popcorn action flick, and there's no way he'd get recognition for that.
I was not a Val Kilmer fan, and I saw that movie, and I remember walking out of the theater and saying, Val Kilmer won that movie. Mm-hmm. But since then, that was before I was a Wyatt Earp person and knew the story. Mm-hmm. I've since learned and heard that if you have a Wyatt Earp movie and Doc Holliday doesn't steal the movie, then you've written a bad Wyatt Earp movie. Mm. Doc Holliday was the more lively character. He was much more, you know, much more three-dimensional character than anyone else. Mm. To get into the performances, Sam Elliott was great. Mm. Too old for the part, but he was great. Kurt Russell, to me, is uneven. He has moments, but for the most part, I'm not crazy about him as Wyatt.
Yeah, I agree.
Bill Paxton's horrible. But I don't know if he's horrible. I think his part was written horrible. That is not Morgan. Morgan was not the pussy that they make him out to be in that movie.
Yeah.
Powers Booth was great.
Yeah, Powers Booth was
Powers
awesome.
Booth was great
Michael
as Curly
Biehn
Bill.
Was great.
Michael Biehn's great. The dude that plays Johnny Biehn, not great. And it's Biehn, not Behan, which they say in the movie.
Yeah. John Tenney.
John Tenney, nah.
He always plays kind of the same douchey kind of on the surface character.
Dana Delany was horrible as Josie.
Yeah. I didn't mind her.
Yeah, and I liked Dana Delany. She was hot back then. But nah, she wasn't Josie. The problem that both movies get wrong is that Josie was not some successful actress from San Francisco that happened to be touring. No, she was a bit part player.
Okay.
She was not successful. But both movies show her as being very successful.
Yeah, it's more of a, you know, I guess it plays into the love story more. It's something you can't have, not just a regular girl.
Right.
That he was going for.
Now, the one thing they don't do well in that... Well, go ahead.
What about the relationship that Wyatt had with his wife, his existing wife? Is that whole thing
with Maddie? Very, very close. Very close.
Yeah.
She was addicted to laudanum.
Which is heroin, basically.
Cause, yeah, because they weren't married, and he said he would never marry her because she was a whore.
Okay.
When they met. And
that's kind of the vibe you get in Tombstone, but they don't really say it, is that all of them basically hooked up with whores.
They did. Well, but back then that was common. That was, you know, how do you meet women?
You go to the brothel. Or you go to church.
Because you can't. And they're boring. You know,
the ones from church are the girls from the brothel trying to get forgiveness so they go work at brothel again, basically.
Yeah, because girls weren't allowed in saloons, so you don't meet girls at bars like you do nowadays and stuff. So, yeah, that's how you basically met girls was through them being whores. And matter of fact, Wyatt and his brothers actually owned brothels in their life.
Yeah.
But back then, like I said, that was somewhat respectable. It wasn't considered...
It was a business. It wasn't like it is now.
And that's one of the businesses Wyatt and his brothers get into. But then you got the Cowboys. And this is the movie that term came into fruition, where they referred to the bad guys in Tombstone as the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Because no other book before that movie and nothing since then... Well, I'm sorry. No other book before then ever referred to them as the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But since that movie came out, they refer to them as the Cowboys. So the movie was that influential that they changed this name for them. But no, they weren't known. But you're talking about the Clantons and the McLowries.
Yeah.
And they were and Curly Bill and Johnny Ringo. What they would do is they would go into Mexico, steal cattle, bring them up to Arizona, sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were rustlers.
Yeah.
And so basically and they run the town. They've got Johnny Bean in their back pocket. And he's the sheriff. I'm trying to separate fact from the movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the movie now. Yeah, that's interesting.
But the movie shows...
No, I'm just
what's that?
I said it's interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. So the movie, they're just taking over the town.
Yeah.
And the Earps decide to do something about it. You know, Virgil decides to become a lawman. Wyatt's very pissed off at him. Wyatt wants him to be businessman, not lawman anymore.
Yeah, they want to retire and make their money.
And then Morgan decides to join too. Mm-hmm. And Wyatt eventually decides to join along. Because what happened was Wyatt had worked for Wells Fargo as a shotgun guy. He ran some saloons, you know, but the money wasn't there. And so he decides to become a lawman as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the shit really hits the fan.
Okay.
So what do you got?
I was just looking at the trivia from IMDb. So the lawman Wyatt Earp's fifth cousin, Wyatt Earp, plays Billy Claiborne in the movie.
Billy Claiborne, yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Line quoted by Doc at the end of the fight of the OK Corral is historically true, as was reported in the Tombstone papers reporting the fight. When confronted by one of the Cowboys at point blank range, the Cowboy reportedly said,
"I got you now, you son of a bitch.
You're a daisy if you do."
Now, the I'm Your Huckleberry thing did not happen.
Yeah.
That was made up.
Don't any of you have the guts to pay for blood?
I'm Your Huckleberry. That's just my game.
Good line.
Great line, yeah. Great line.
Yeah. Yeah, but back to the cigar scene, since we'll take it back to Cigar Page, with the Billy Bob Thornton thing. That's where some of the best lines in that movie are.
Something on your mind?
Just want to let you know you're sitting in my chair.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, for a man that don't go heeled, you run your mouth kind of reckless, don't you?
No need to go heeled to get the bulge on a tub like you.
Is that a fact?
Mm. That's a fact. Well, I'm real scared. Damn right you're scared. I can see that in your eyes.
All right.
Now, go ahead. Go ahead. Skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Listen, mister. I'm getting awful tired of your...
I'm getting tired of your gas. Now jerk that pistol and go to work. I said throw down, boy. You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
One of the best lines ever.
Yeah.
Great line. Kind of getting ahead of ourselves. But... the OK Corral is what Wyatt and them are most known for.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that drives me nuts is that Wyatt doesn't want to go down there and fight. Wyatt's like, it's a misdemeanor. Because what happens is the Clantons and McLowries had spent the whole night, well, Ike Clanton the whole night, had spent threatening the Earps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first Earp I see, the ball's going to open. And so the Earps get up next morning and they find out what's going on. So they decide, we got to go down there and do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least Virgil decides to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're standing there on this porch of some saloon, talking about they need to go down and do it and why it's against it. Why it's like, oh, it's a misdemeanor and you're just going to start a fight and blah, blah, blah. And then it's disputed if this ever happened. Some stories say it did, some didn't. But Doc decides to join and Wyatt says it's not your fight. And it's a good line, but like I said, it's 50-50 on whether he actually said this. Mm-hmm. He says, that's a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm your friend, I'm going to help you out, basically. Yeah. And it's a good part in the movie. Historically, like I said, I don't know. But
they deputize him.
But in real, Wyatt wanted to go down there. Wyatt was as sick of the crap as ever anyone else was. And he let's go end it. Let's just go end this thing right now. And, you know, and Morgan's being a pussy. Now, one thing that cracks me up about this movie, if you know anything about Old West towns, every building was built out of wood.
Yeah.
So they show him walking down to the OK Corral, and there's this huge fire going on in the background.
Yeah.
Everyone stops what they're doing to put out the fire because they don't want to burn down the whole freaking town.
Yeah.
There's no way they walk past this fire. We're going to go kill some people.
They don't explain it either.
They don't. Really, it's just like, why was there a fire?
Apparently there was like cut scenes where they explained that they did it as a distraction so they could, you know, not have to fight them. But they're like, no, we're still going to do it anyway.
Yeah. So they get down there. Some of it's very accurate. Virgil shows up not wanting, you know, letting it be clear. You know, throw down your guns or throw up your hands, want your guns. You know, we're going to arrest you. You're under arrest. And it escalates. And, you know, there's never been an actual reason that triggered why the guns started going. But Tombstone gives us a reason a little bit, and that Doc kind of torments Thomas Hayden Church's character with the wink and everything. Okay, from a movie standpoint, that's a good trigger. We don't know, like I said, we don't know what happened, but that was good. That was actual good writing there. Mm-hmm. Give us a reason. Because Thomas Hayden Church was playing Stephen Foster and, you know, stuff like that at the saloon. And Doc, you know, so they already had an issue. Mm-hmm. And so Doc winks at him, and that starts the fight. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. It's when Doc shows up with a double-barrel shotgun, shoots one in the air, and then two into Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah, whatever. Now, what they did, to be fair, is they shoot it, but then they show a replay, which movies don't show replays, but that's what they did. They didn't let you know it was a replay. They just showed boom. And it's like, wait a minute, he just shot three times with a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
You have to watch the movie three or four times before you realize, oh, wait, that was just a replay of that.
Yeah.
But and then he's shooting in the window. He shoots, I think, 15 times with a six shooter through a window.
Yeah.
So, you know, that stuff's silly. But, you know, Westerns do that all the time. Wyatt's, you know, oh, my God. I just don't like Wyatt's attitude in regards to the OK Corral.
Yeah.
Wyatt wanted to be there. Wyatt was actually said, and this is where Wyatt Earp gets wrong. They have Morgan saying this line, but it was actually Wyatt that said, you sons of bitches been looking for a fight when I ain't gonna have it. Mm. And what happens is Tombstone tries to portray Wyatt as this wholesome guy until all the bad shit happens. Then he becomes a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was a borderline guy the whole way through his life. He always kind of rode the fence on what benefited him the most. Mm. And Tombstone doesn't show that. He's a moral guy until all the bad stuff happens to him. So that's part of the, and it's not necessarily Kurt Russell's performance, it's the way it's written.
Yeah.
But he did direct it, so he could have fixed that if he'd have wanted to.
Yeah. He's probably worried about everybody else's performance think at that point. He's been doing movies like since he was a kid, so I'm fine, I just worry about directing these guys. But yeah, so it's a fun movie. I definitely like it. There's a lot of really good trivia about it here that's pretty interesting stuff.
Here's another thing.
Go for it.
So Costner decides to shut down the production of Tombstone because he's got his own movie going on. Now, you know, after he backed out of Tombstone, now he's got his own movie. And Kurt Russell even said, he played hardball, but he goes, it was good hardball. He said it was very fair hardball. He said, but Costner did. So what happened was Costner and them, they ordered all the Western attire in Hollywood. So Tombstone had to go to like France or something to get their stuff, but it wound up working because Tombstone was a very Victorian town. So the costumes in Tombstone are actually more authentic than the costumes in Wyatt Earp.
Yep, and so there's a little note about that too, saying that Kevin Jarre or whatever his name is, basically had to get the costumes from France, and they were all real wool costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to make them as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
So Val Kilmer is saying that the thermometer in the on the set during the Birdcage theater scene read 134 degrees.
Jeez.
So Kilmer suggested jokingly that the reason Doc Holliday killed so many people is it was just hot. It was wool. It was summer.
That's correct. You know, at the time, Val Kilmer was actually the biggest star in that movie. I mean, he was the one who had the best career going. I mean, Kurt Russell had been doing stuff for a long time, but he was in kind of a lull.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott's always just been a character actor, a great character actor.
Yeah.
Powers Booth always just been a great character actor. But Val Kilmer was the big star, and he pulled it off.
Oh,
he was great in that part, no doubt.
Can you imagine Willem Dafoe in that role?
I know that he was supposed to play it, and maybe.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be Willem Dafoe, but because of his involvement in Last Temptation of Christ, this was a Disney movie. It was Buena Vista. They refused to let him be cast in the role. So
okay, well,
he was taken out last
time. He would have been fine, probably.
Yeah. And Mickey Rourke turned down the role of Johnny Ringo. That's crazy stuff. I don't know. Yeah, so it's pretty interesting, man. There's they have a translation here of the stuff that him and Johnny Ringo say to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Latin.
Yeah.
So apparently it's the back and forth between him and stuff. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. They're basically just, when you see the scene and the way it plays out, it looks like they're actually responding to each other.
Yeah.
But really they're just saying Latin quotes.
Really?
It's really just like basically Latin that they know to see who knows the most Latin. So it starts off in Vino Veritas, which is in Wine There Is Truth. And then Do What You Do is what Johnny Ringo says back to him. And then Doc Holliday says, let Apella the Jew believe not I. And then Ringo says, youth is the teacher of fools. And Doc Holliday says, may he rest in peace. And then Johnny Ringo says, let Apella the Jew believe not I again. So that's basically it. So there's really not, it's not really a conversation.
No.
It's just more,
just lines.
I know stuff.
Okay, I know here's a line here. I know this.
Yeah, I also know that. Exactly. But it's a great scene, though. Yeah. Johnny Ringo does his little gun thing.
And then he does the wine cup. Yeah, that's kind of cute. That's
kills
funny.
Everything, yeah. Yeah. Kills the mood there. Yeah.
And I do like the line where he says, it's official, I hate him, or something to that effect.
Oh, yeah. It's official, I hate him. Yeah, he has some of the best lines in the movie, but
And he's supposed to.
Glenn Ford was originally signed on to play Marshall White.
Who was?
Glenn Ford.
Okay.
But poor health prevented him from
doing
it.
That's too bad.
So Marshall White ended up being Harry Carey Jr., which has been in a crap ton of movies, and they're saying that the actual character was
like
in his 30s, and they have this 74-year-old
and both movies have Marshall White as being an old guy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, kind of
I think it plays a little better that way because you feel for him a little bit. You know,
right.
And he gets shot. And I guess you tell me if this is fact or not, but I've heard this, that the reason that they didn't go after, there's two reasons. They're saying one of those corruption involved with them not going after Curly Bill. But the other thing was that Marshall White actually said before he died that it was an accident.
No, Wyatt even testified on Curly Bill's behalf.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Wyatt said it was an accident when he shot Marshall White. Mm. And some people even say that it was Wyatt's fault because Wyatt was trying to pull him back, and that's what caused the gun to go off. So Wyatt totally defended him. So,
okay.
Neither movie shows that. They show that as being the trigger that starts all the crap.
Yeah.
Was Curly Bill killing Marshall White? But no. In real life, to be honest, what really, and why the White Earp movie handles this a little better, what really started a lot of it, other than the rustling and things like that, was that Wyatt falls in love with Josie and stole him from Johnny Bean. And Johnny Bean, being attached to the Cowboys, got pissed off.
Yeah.
So he kind of said, let's get him, let's go after him.
Because of a girl.
It was a love triangle is what it was, really.
That's crazy.
But I guess that's too soap opera-ish for a Western, but that's what happened. And if I were to write a movie, if I had an unlimited budget and someone said, write any movie you want, I would write a real Wyatt Earp movie. Because the Wyatt Earp story is better than any movie has ever portrayed it.
Okay.
There's so much drama, there's so much intrigue. But just tell that story. That story's awesome. But they always have to doctor it up and fix it and romanticize it. It's like, just tell the real story. The real story's great.
Mm. Can you see Richard Gere as White Earp?
No.
Because he was originally cast as well.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yikes.
I
love that. So back in the old Laserdisc days, because I had this movie on Laserdisc at some point, had commentary and behind-the-scenes stuff. This is the one that cracked me up, man. I was drunk the first time I saw it, and I couldn't stop laughing. And ever since then, it's just been one of my favorites. But it's not on the Blu-ray. It's not on the DVD. It's nowhere. It's only on that Laserdisc. But they interviewed George P. Cosmatos, who speaks very broken English.
Right.
It's like, I don't know what he is. So, but he says, the movie, it was very authentic. All the clothing was authentic. And, by the way, all of the lightning and the mustaches are real.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Now, the funny thing is to see, Kurt Russell's mustache is real.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks fake. It looks like if he sneezes, that thing's going to fly off. But in fairness, it was real, you know. And I understand why both movies did this, but they have Virgil and Morgan getting shot on the same night.
Yeah.
It happened like a month or two apart.
Yeah.
But you got to condense the thing, so I'm fine with that. Yeah. They're just to let me know this is what happened.
I always thought the movie got a little muddy right around that point. It just doesn't seem right. Like they're just kind of compacting and kind of pushing stuff along too fast.
Yeah.
And that part always bugged me.
But
and especially the worst acting in the whole movie is Kurt Russell when he's in the street and he's like, "Leave me alone."
Oh yeah, that's horrible.
And it's like raining just on him. Like just they pulled away too far and you can see the rain machine just going
on him. Yeah. That part's bad. You know, we talked about overactors a couple of episodes ago. And Kurt Russell overacts in that scene. He overacts at the train scene when Stillwell gets shot with a "no."
Yeah.
And his, "You tell him I'm..." I mean, it's a good speech, but...
Yeah. "Tell him I'm coming.
Hell's coming with me." I think he overacts that scene.
Yeah. So the scene when they're going after Curly Bill, mm-hmm. and Wyatt just, like, steps up out of the bushes and just walks straight up to him and shoots him. Now, I thought that was BS, but apparently it's based on fact.
Very true.
That's both, badass.
Both movies get that right.
Yeah.
What had happened... Well, actually, they don't get it exactly right.
Yeah.
What had happened was Wyatt thought he had his people with him. They took off because they realized they were in an ambush. Mm. So they take off. Wyatt realizes he's by himself and he's in this ambush situation. So he reaches for his rifle. Well, his gun belt falls down around his ankles, so he trips. He's about to fall down because his... holsters around his ankles.
Oh, wow.
But he's able to get to his horse, get his rifle out of his scabbard, because it was well known that Curly Bill couldn't hit the side of a barn with a gun. He just couldn't. So you think it's silly, like, how can he miss him all these times when he's that close? He did.
Yeah.
Wyatt had time to grab the rifle with his gun belt around his ankles, turn around, and shoot Curly Bill, because Curly Bill was that bad a shot.
Wow. Yeah, that was awesome, man.
Yeah.
The Professor Gilman scene with the when they're in the Birdcage Theater and they're mm-hmm. shooting, they're shooting at him. He's like, they're shooting at us. Apparently, also based on fact.
Uh-huh.
But it was said that basically what happened was he had done this as part of his show in previous towns, where they would pretend to shoot at him with a blank. He would pretend to catch the bullet in his mouth and spit it out as part of his magic show.
Okay.
But in this particular instance, you know, he saw that they hit something on the stage. He's like, "Oh, they're actually
crap, that was real."
This. Okay. He ran off. Nice. Yeah. So that's pretty funny.
That's cool. That's funny. So,
another TV actor from this, the guy from 90210.
Jason Priestley.
Jason Priestley.
Played, don't tell me the name, Billy Breckenridge.
Yep.
Who was gay.
Yep.
And, he was actually the first person to ever write a story mm-hmm. about what it was called Hell Dorado. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he left out about being gay because that was taboo back then and everything. But, of course, he was part of the cowboy faction.
Mm-hmm.
So in his book, the Earps were bad.
Yeah.
They caused all this crap. They murdered those people. And, yeah, so that's the thing at the OK Corral. They said that the Clancy and McClowries were unarmed.
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, that was another badly acted line from Kurt Russell when he walks up and says, you know, like, after he's already dead or whatever, mm-hmm. he's like, "All they did was laugh at him."
Yeah, wow.
So it's just like total Jack Burton delivery there.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Doc Hollywood. I was like, "I don't know why you like Doc Hollywood." Or Doc Holliday. Doc Hollywood.
Doc Hollywood.
That's a crappy movie with Michael J. Fox.
That's a very bad
movie. I
don't know
why you like Doc Holliday. He's like, "Oh, he makes me laugh." Cheesy delivery. Yeah. So he really is kind of not a great performance from Kurt Russell, but... everything surrounding that is fun stuff.
No, it's still a fun movie. My three biggest issues with this movie. First is that stupid Mexican wedding at the beginning when that never happened. They didn't shoot up a bunch of Mexicans at a wedding for no reason. That didn't happen. And then
it
does. It creates it sets up that they're bad. And the vendetta, which is the thing that, you know. The whole thing about Wyatt Earp was he was a lawman who became an outlaw. Well, the reason why he became an outlaw, one brother got killed, another got maimed, his life was threatened, and he decides to go get vengeance. Mm-hmm. Very cool. He's like one of the first vigilantes of modern record, you know?
Yeah.
That's the story. That's where he became the outlaw. Okay. He killed a guy named Indian Charlie, whose real name was Florentino Cruz, but they called him Indian Charlie. He killed Indian Charlie, he killed Frank Stillwell, he killed Curly Bill. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all they killed.
Okay.
They show him going on this ride where they're killing everybody. They got the guy in the opium den where he thinks he's smoking this pipe and it's really a gun.
Yeah.
It's that part, it's just so stupid. It's like that didn't none of that happened. Mm-hmm. And Bill Paxton's role, I won't blame him.
Yeah.
He played the role fine. It's just Morgan was fiery, he was feisty, he was the closest in personality to Wyatt.
Okay.
And in the movie they show him just such a pussy.
Yeah.
Damn kids. You know, it's like, oh, come on.
I love that little exchange, though, about him. It's like, hey, they say when you die, you go to heaven, you see a light. And he's like, what about hell? There a sign there or something?
No, that's a good line. And Wyatt and Morgan had talked about that a lot in their lives. And I love both movies because they show both sides. Morgan, when he's dying, says to Wyatt, I don't see a damn thing.
Yep.
But nobody heard that.
Yeah.
That's just what he said to Wyatt. Wyatt's the only person who heard him say that. Mm. And Tombstone shows you hear him say it, which is fine because you wanted to know what he said to Wyatt.
Yeah.
And Wyatt, you just see him whisper it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. You get to see both of what happened. And I'm fine with that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But Morgan was not the pussy they make him out to be in this movie. He was feisty. I love that line in Wyatt Earp when they're getting ready to go down to the OK Corral. Morgan says, I think we just kill them all. Mm. And that's more what Morgan was.
Morgan actually was, yeah.
Matter of fact, Doc was so mad when Morgan got killed that Doc went knocking on doors with his guns drawn, looking for the Clantons, McLowrys, and Stillwell and everything because he wanted to kill him right then because that's how much he loved Morgan. And he wasn't a friend of anybody other than Wyatt's, but he loved Morgan because Morgan was feisty. That bothers me. But Paxton plays the part fine. It's just I don't like the way it's written.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And that's before Paxton. I mean, Paxton's become a better actor since then, I think, mm-hmm. But at that point, he was still kind of finding his groove.
And he's
from
Grand Prairie, so we can't be too hard.
right. Yeah. But yeah, overall, very, very fun movie. A lot's going on there. It's a ton of action, ton of drama.
Yeah, if you don't get bogged down in the details like I tend to do, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I probably make the movie less fun because of my details, but you know. Hey.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can see that. So, let's see here. Lynn Ford, yeah, I already said that. Okay, that. John Carpenter claimed that he almost directed the film in the 90s.
Wow. That would have been interesting.
That would have been real interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't know that he would have pulled that off, to tell you the truth.
No, I don't know. And for that to be Kurt Russell's first directing role, he was fine. He pulled off a really good, fun, entertaining movie.
Yeah.
Are there flaws? Of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, if you and I directed a movie tomorrow, we'd sit on the sidelines and talk about how good we'd be, but we'd probably suck,
yeah. So this is a fun little fact here. Kurt Russell, as well as Val Kilmer, have strong ties to Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Both played him during their careers. Mm-hmm. Russell played him as the King in Elvis 1977. Voiced him in Forrest Gump,
yes.
I don't know if you knew that, and played the impersonator in 3,000 Miles to Graceland,
yep.
While Val Kilmer played the,
Elvis, the ghost or illusion or whatever.
So, yeah. Cool stuff.
And do you know this? Another little known fact. Val Kilmer has also played Wyatt Earp in a movie. In a direct-to-DVD movie.
I saw that, horrible.
God,
I heard
it was horrible.
Bad, yeah.
So he's played Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, Elvis, Jim Morris. he plays famous people a lot.
And Doc Holliday's last words are, I'll be damned, which has been, people say it's factual, people say it's not. But
that one is exact words, but it's very similar.
He swore that he was die with his boots on, which is why he said
it. Yeah, he said he couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe he died with his boots off. Wyatt did go see him, but not, he wasn't bedside. They did see each other one more time in Colorado, but it wasn't bedside.
Yeah, Val Kilmer states that during his death scene, he laid on a bed of ice so that he could shake in a weird way. And it worked.
That's cool. That works.
Yeah. Method acting there.
Yeah.
The train car that Virgil and the girls leave on departing Tombstone is the same train car that Wyatt steps off at the beginning of the movie. And the number on the train is number 5150, which is police code for basically lunatics and escaping from the insane asylum. So
right.
That's kind of funny.
And did you know there wasn't a train station in Tombstone?
No, I didn't know that.
It was in Junction City. It was 20, 30 miles away.
So you would have to ride to Tombstone.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That takes away from some of the drama.
Yeah. Fun movie. Gets a lot right. Gets a lot wrong. But it gets enough right that you can still enjoy the movie, even if you're a wider nerd like me. But, I saw that at the theater. I saw Wyatt Earp on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'd heard bad reviews, and so I didn't want to watch. But then I watched it, and I was like, oh, that's good. You know?
Yeah, it's a good movie. They're both good movies. They're both, I find myself in the mood for Tombstone more because, number one, everybody in the house likes it, so it tends to be the one we want
right.
to watch.
Yeah.
I've seen probably Wyatt Earp full on twice. And
but see, you don't need to watch
times.
Wyatt Earp full on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to know the history, you can watch it. But just watch this. Once they get to Tombstone, start the movie there, and it's fine. It's really good at that point on. It's just getting to Tombstone can bog you down a little bit. I mean, yeah, we know Wyatt Earp had a history. Here's the ironic thing was, you know, that narration at the beginning. I can't remember who, somebody famous did the narration.
Charlton Heston.
It was Charlton Heston, yeah. And he played Henry Hooker later on in the movie.
Oh, no, it was Robert Mitchum. Because Robert Mitchum was supposed to play Henry Hooker.
Right.
But he got hurt on a horse, like, the first day they started filming, so they took him out. Kevin Jarre shot those scenes with him.
Uh-huh.
He got injured. That's when he was fired. And then they basically just had him do the narration because they couldn't use the scenes. So.
And how do we forget that Charlton Heston was in this movie? Good Lord.
Yeah.
One of his last big, decent roles, you know, well... roles in a big movie anyway.
Yeah, there's another factoid in there about him having really bad hemorrhoids.
Oh, yeah.
And when they shot the scene, he's on a horse, and you can see it in his face. When he starts to turn the horse to ride off, you can see the pain in his face. You look at it, he's like, oh. It's like, damn you, horse.
Here's something that neither movie even addresses. Henry Hooker he was firmly on the Earp side. Mm-hmm. He was a huge ranch owner and cattle guy in the area. Very wealthy man, and he was on Earp's side, and he offered like a $5,000 reward for Curly Bill's head.
Wow.
And Wyatt wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
Wyatt wouldn't take the money for it, you know. So that wasn't what he was in it. He was in it to avenge his brothers. That was what he wanted to do.
Hmm.
And at the end, they show him chasing Ike. Ike died several years later in a bar fight. The Earps had nothing really to do with
You remember
Ike
the family getting all upset about the movie, saying that they presented him as a coward in the movie and that he wasn't really a coward, and they sued the makers of Tombstone.
Who, Ike Clanton? Oh, yeah. What's his name? Terry Ike Clanton III or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I know the guy. I've talked to the guy. He is so on the Clanton's side, which obviously it's his family. But no, Ike was a coward. Ike's the one that started that whole freaking fight and then shows up to it without a gun. He was unarmed. Everyone else was armed. He's unarmed. Now, that line, my buddy Glenn Boyer... long since passed, but really cool dude, said that line that Wyatt says, fights commence, get to fighting or get away. He said, who in the hell has time to say that in 30 seconds when bullets are flying?
Right.
He said, now Wyatt claimed he said that, but that was during his court trial, during the trial.
Yeah.
So he doesn't think that line was ever said. He thinks Wyatt just made that up for the trial to show that he was a compassionate guy. He could have killed him, but he decided not to.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, so that goes back to the Jeff Morey thing. Jeff Morey is one of the guys. Wyatt was a saint until the bad stuff happened.
Yeah.
And Glenn's always portrayed him as a dude.
Yeah.
That just, you know, and I that seems more logical to me. And so Tombstone's based on Jeff Morey's stuff, and Wyatt Earp's based not, they didn't acknowledge him, but it's Glenn Boyer's story.
Okay.
And Glenn even told me that he sent Costner a book of his that he'd written, and Costner wrote him back, said, I can't read it because I don't want it to interfere with the script and to be claimed. But somebody said that was on the set that Kevin read that entire book in one sitting the set. So, that movie's based more on Glenn Boyer's
research. Cool. That's cool. All right.
And I'm not name dropping. I really am was friends with Glenn. Mm-hmm. I mean, we communicated.
How did that start up? Was that?
Because I wrote him and told him he was a liar.
Why? What?
Because I was more into the Jeff Morey stuff, and I liked, and I'm, you know, that's how I thought Wyatt Earp's a saint, you know, why, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Glenn was talking about, you know, making him more of a real person, so I sent him an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're full of shit. And I started challenging him on all these facts and stuff. And instead of writing me back that I'm an asshole and what the fuck do you know or whatever, no, he writes me back. He says, I like your passion. And he says, I can tell you're new to the research of this. He said, so let me send you a couple of books for free and let you read them.
Yeah.
And I read them, and they made more sense than all the other stuff. And so I wrote him back and said, I like your stuff. This is great and everything. And from that point on, we kept up our communication for years. I mean, I had his phone number. He gave me his phone number.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really cool. You know, so, yeah, it started off by me calling him a liar.
You're a damn liar and a coward, and he challenged you to a duel.
And I had all the emails. I printed all the emails at one point, and I had them. I don't know what the hell ever happened to them. I'd love to show them.
That'd be awesome. No kidding. That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cool. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and cut it short today. That's still about 40 minutes worth of content there, but we don't really have any movie news today or anything like that.
I would like to recommend a couple of Wyatt Earp books for people that are interested.
Go for it.
One is very hard to find, and it's written in the Truman Capote style of In Cold Blood, where it's written as a nonfiction novel.
So you have to read it out loud with a lisp?
No. But it's factual, but it's written as a novel.
Okay.
Called Wyatt Earp's Tombstone Vendetta by Glenn G. Boyer. Very hard to find. Last time I saw it on eBay, it was like $4,000. It's very hard to find. But if you can find it, and I have seen it in libraries, that I would read that. And then I would read a book by a guy that I'm not a fan of, Alan Barra. He's an ESPN writer, called Inventing Wyatt Earp. And he gets a lot right. He rips Glenn in the book, my buddy. But for the most part, he gets a lot right.
So yeah. If you can find that Glenn book at the library, read it, and then keep it and sell it on eBay for $4,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You might find a digital version of it.
Oh, maybe that was another thing Glenn did. My wife knew that I was into it, and she knew the website that he was running at the time. Mm-hmm. And she called him and said, do you have any of these copies left? And he says, no, I don't have any left. She goes, oh, well, my husband's a fan of yours and friend of yours and stuff. And he said, who? And she said, Randy. He sold it to her for $50.
Oh, wow. Nice.
The so book that he could... It. I did.
Did.
I lost it in a move.
No.
Well, it got rained on. Yeah. That's what happened. It was in a box that got rained on. Ruined it.
That's too bad.
But I could sell on eBay for $4,000.
I know, right? It's probably signed, too, I imagine.
It was, too.
Oh, damn it. Was. Yeah. That's horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
But right before he died, he was... was interviewed in Wild West magazine or True West magazine, one of the Western magazines. And so I sent it to... I called him, said, hey, I'd like to send this to you. Will you autograph it for me? And he says, yeah, if you send me a cigar. So I sent him a cigar, he sent it back to me, and I still have that. And it says, to a bueno amigo, Glenn Boyer. That's kind of cool.
That is very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. All right, so keep listening to the show, and we do appreciate you listening every week. We're going to be doing a couple of one-offs here. I'm going to review the new Entourage movie, because I know that Randy has no interest in that. And I'll be reviewing Superman Returns with Phil from This May Hurt this Saturday. Randy might jump in on that. He hasn't decided yet. And then we do have another one coming up that we're both going to do together, back to the old school style with the Cape Fear.
The 90s version.
The 90s version.
But we will reference the older version because it's great as well.
And Robert Mitchum's in the old one and the new one.
And the new one. And Gregory Peck's in the old one and the new one, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But the main one is Nick Nolte and Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Yeah.
Juliette Lewis and...
Juliette Lewis, yeah. Jessica Lange.
Yeah, one of the few Scorsese movies you probably like, right?
Yeah, I forgot Scorsese did it. No, he did a nice job. I'm not usually big on remakes, but that one was a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. So check out Cape Fear, check out Superman Returns, the one with Brandon Routh, and check out also Entourage.
Your friend Ralph or your friend Phil?
No, Brandon Routh. Well, Brandon Routh's the actor. He plays Superman.
Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to review it with
Brandon. Yeah, I'm going to get him on the phone. Good. He's not doing anything.
He's free.
So yeah, be on the lookout for the Entourage episode, Superman Returns, and Cape Fear coming. All right, Randy, so where can they find us?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. My Twitter name is @RandyRankin43.
And check us out at Twitter at Cigars in Cinema. And then my personal Twitter, if you want to Twitter me there, is at Captain Funky Pants.
Oh, and Calypso's Facebook page has changed to Calypso Cigars. Okay. So go on Facebook and like their page.
And if you're in the DFW area, check out not only Calypso Cigar Shop, but also check out the Enfuego guys. They got one in Rockwall, one in Frisco, and one in Murphy.
Exactly. Great guys.
Thank those guys for the cigars today. This tasty, tasty Tatuaje cigars.
Nice Tatuaje.
Thank them for letting us record here.
Absolutely.
At lovely shop.
Absolutely.
So as always, it's been great smoking with
you. See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.
I'm your Huckleberry.